I used to think deer season was my favorite till turkey season came along, till time to go catch a bass came along, until deer season came back in. All that, you see what I'm saying? So these things, yeah. It's a cycle. You cycle God's word in your life. You go to his word and you fill up on it. I've given this message a title, and I'm calling it Praise Him for What? Praise Him for What? That's a kind of a strange title. But if there would be any great indictment against us as God's people, a lot of times our praise to Him is mindless. And it's an indictment against us. Our praise to Him is mindless. We come to church and the music starts, so we just start praising Him. Not that that's bad, but it never needs to be mindless. I'm going to explain it to you. That means that we don't have anything specific in our minds that we're praising God for. So when someone says, praise the Lord, someone should be able to ask you, praise Him for what? See, all throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament, when God did things, He said, say what I did back. Say it to your children. Let me tell you, let me give you what it looks like. When you wake up in the morning, say what I did. When you move around, say what I did. If you go on a journey, say what I did. And when you recline to rest, say what I did. It does not give a lot of gap for us to do other things. And David said it like this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. That was just in me. And then when we sang that song, I'm like, I'm getting into the message already, but I can't help it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I can't have mindless praise anymore. My praise needs to be attached to something so that I get all of the benefit out of it. How many of you, when you put a piece of food in your mouth, just swallow it? I remember I was at college, and I had a little dog in my dorm, and I wasn't supposed to have him there. And my hallmates were so mean. They came back from lunch and put a chicken leg outside my door, knocked on the door, and here comes my dog over there. And when I got to that dog and opened it up, that thing had scratched back all the carpet. It looked like a nest. I was like, thanks, guys. Thank you. That's a good joke. And I fed that dog. I felt bad for it. And I took a piece of ham, and I broke it in pieces, and that dog goes, kuff, kuff. And I was trying to feed him for flavor. And my friend, Dwayne Pace, y'all know me, he said, John, dogs don't eat for flavor. Dogs eat to get that belly full. They smell it. They like it. They just, it's gone. How many of you, when you put food in your mouth, you just, it's you don't do that, do you? You chew it up. You savor it. You enjoy it. But you know what you're actually doing? You're getting all the nutrition and everything broken up. And you know why cows chew the cud? Because what they're eating that turns the cud, that, hey, it only has so much nutritional value to it. But they'll bring it back up and chew on it a while and take it back down. It's actually the picture of meditation. I've taught you about that before. That's actually a picture of meditation. But his praise is continually supposed to be in our mouth. And it's supposed to have something attached to it that we remember, that reminds us of what he did, and there is purpose in every bit of it. We don't just praise the Lord. Think. We've all got things to be thankful for, don't we? To praise him, and he's worthy of that. Now, just hang with me. We should be able to answer that question in our life. Praising him for what? Praise the Lord. Praise him for what? That, it would just about seem rude, wouldn't it? If you said, praise the Lord, and somebody said, well, what are you praised him for? But you really actually need to have an answer for that. Praise him for what he did. Praise him for what he did for me. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. That is a huge thing right there. My soul makes its boast. In other words, my soul glorifies in him. My soul, what will live on when I die, the eternal part of me praises the Lord. Sometimes I know it's a slow start. It takes a minute for my physical to catch up to it. Me and Eric were talking yesterday at the Bible study, like, we start slow, and then we go over because we started slow. And it's okay because we have quiet people, but once we get them going and start talking about the Lord, then it starts coming out, doesn't it? Y'all that come to the Bible study, you know what I'm talking about with that. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. It's something that they will recognize. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt his name forever. There are things that our praise does. And you, remembering what God has done and talking about that and praising about what he's done, puts a value on what he did. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Your praise puts a value on what God did for you. And if you're expecting something from him in the future, you look back on his track record, not yours, but his track record is perfect. And again, he's worthy of praise over and over and over again. Flip over to First Samuel chapter 17. When I think of anxious moments and the times that I've had anxiety, the Lord brought this back to me Wednesday night when we were having prayer together, to pray for anxieties, to pray for anxieties. And I was up early this morning, and I found an old CD in there, and it was some preaching that I actually did up in Ohio, and I popped it in, and I listened for a few minutes. I'd already done my studying and things like that, and I was turned around just organizing a few things in my garage on a Sunday morning early. I'm telling you, it was quite early, but that's kind of my thing on Sunday morning. But I don't usually go do anything like that. But I was sitting there listening, and I was thinking, I'm thinking that sermon I'm preaching is about to touch on that thing about anxiety. And then I left the garage, and I left it on. I went back, and I sat down at my notes, and I could hear it down in the garage, it's my voice, you know, but it's on down in there. I could hear it, and I actually forgot about it for a few minutes, and I thought, well, I'm going to go down in a few minutes. If I walk in there, and it's talking about that, because I wasn't even sure it was on that, and I went back downstairs, and it was right to the point. And now my CD player's, it's not broken, but my little remote is gone, so I can't change anything. I can't go back. And I grabbed a piece of paper, and I wrote it down what it was. I said, okay, Lord, okay, I'm going to trust that. And I started writing this note down about anxiety. Because we are living in an anxious time. Has anybody struggled? Could you be honest to say that my mind's been a little bit stressed? Yeah. See, that's you're not alone. Just hold them up high now. That, sometimes it's like this. Well, hold them up high. Anybody? Okay. See? All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anxiety causes something in us to happen, and I'm going to tell you what it is. But praise causes something to happen in us. Praise actually has a neurological response. A neurological response happens whenever we praise. So praise has neurological implications inside of us. Doctors have realized this. They're not going to give God credit for it, but they will say, think on positive things. If you're having anxiety, what are you thinking about? What's pushing you down? What are you afraid of? That's usually what they base it on right there is fear. Think on positive things. Think good thoughts. Well, we can do one better than that. Because the one who renews your mind has instructions for us. Amen? And we praise him because we're his people. And he has done things for us, and we recognize what he's done, and we repeat those things back in our mind, and that resets our mind. It has neurological implications because when fear comes to us, it will overwhelm the logical side of your brain with emotion. You have two sides of your brain. You've got an emotional side of your brain. You've got a logical side of your brain. And as you allow fear to walk in and barge in your life and take territory of your mind, your logical side has been overwhelmed. And the emotional side of your mind is just getting filleted at that point. But praise and worship and gratitude, it does something to your mind. It actually goes back and it resets your mind. It resets everything that's going on chemically in your mind that is messing up the emotional side and scrambling all of the logical things. And when you praise, it actually activates the logical side of your brain. And it causes it to come back into alignment because you're thinking right. You're thinking right because you started thanking him. To engage your mind, to re-engage your mind, causes you to think. And when you think, if you praise, you must thank, right? And what are you thanking him for? What he's already done. Are you seeing the picture of this? Thanking him for what he's already done prepares me for what's coming, and I can thank him now. It's in the Old Testament. Do you remember when they came to the sea and they couldn't, when the Israelites were coming to the sea, the Egyptians, they had been delivered out of Egypt. They were being chased though. Pharaoh said, let's go get them back. Let's go bring them back. And Pharaoh was on their heels. And the Bible says that as they were on their escape route, that they were surrounded by mountains and there in front of them was the sea. And Pharaoh is coming up behind them. And what do they do down there? Moses, he opens his arms and the sea parts, right? We know that story. But they're desperate down there. They're complaining down there. And Moses performs a mighty miracle. And God gives him the ability to perform that miracle. And then they get on the other side. And what happens? You remember the story. The Egyptians come into the water on the chariots and the horses. And the water closes in on them and drowns every one of them. Y'all remember that story, right? What do they start doing then on the other side? Praising God. You remember the song of Miriam? Praising. They started singing songs of praise. Oh, praise to God. Praise our deliverer who has swallowed up the chariots, swallowed up the horsemen, swallowed up Pharaoh and the armies of Pharaoh. Our God has done that. They start praising him. But on the other side, they were complaining. Complaining. Said, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? Why, take us back. At least we had onions and garlics and leeks. What an incredible complaint. If I ever run away from home and start missing anything, it will not be onions, garlics, and leeks. It'll be you and you and you. It'll be my family. That'll be what I missed, right? What an crazy thing. But on the other side, they started praising God, right? Isn't that human nature, though? We praise God, and it's the right song, but it's on the wrong side. What if we praised him when we were stressed? Well, I'll tell you what we'll praise. If we praised him when we were stressed, we would do what I'm preaching about this morning. We would activate the logical side of our brain that says, God, who did this a long time ago, will do it again for me because I belong to him. Realize this. God never said that we wouldn't have battles. His promise is that the enemy won't win. Absorb that. Absorb that. You're going to have battles, but the enemy won't win. That should make you ready to fight. Let's get it on. Like David ran towards Goliath, right? Before that happened, 1 Samuel chapter 17. What's happening right there? Look at verse 33. Saul and David, y'all know this story, good gracious. David and Goliath, if you know one story, if they put you on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and they said, tell me one story in the Bible, you'd say David and Goliath. So you know it. So we can skip down to verse 33, can't we? Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. In a few minutes, in just a few lines, Saul will be addressing David as a man. He's calling him a boy. And matter of fact, when David heard what was going to be given away as a reward, David, as a boy, said, what will be done for the man? Got to get your mind there. Get your mind out in front of the situation, out in front of the problem. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep. Okay, so Saul had said, you can't go out. You're too young. He's a man of war. You're just a youth. But David said to Saul, verse 34, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, he went out after it. I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and the uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me. Listen to this. David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. The younger you can get a hold of this in your mind, the better all of us are going to be. Everybody else was scared to death of Goliath. But here comes this boy on the scene who did what? Started remembering what God had done. While everybody else is stressed out, while all these supposed men of God are having anxiety, supposed soldiers, supposed strong men, They're stressed out about Goliath, and here comes this boy who says, I will go and do the job. And how did he get himself ready for that? He said, what God did for me in private, what God did for me when no one else is around, when God gave me the strength to defeat the lion with my hands and defeat the bear with my hands, that same God will come on the scene for me. Remembering what God did. You can't thank him without thinking about him. And when you think and you think, you re-engage the logical side of your brain and stress will leave you. I'm telling you, it's God's principle. It's God's principle. And you don't have to take one pill to get there. You just go back to what God has done. How many of you recognize something God did for you? You recognize it was him who did it. And if you could have done it, you would have done it, but you couldn't do it. And since he did it, you realized you couldn't do it, but he did it because you couldn't, but he could, and he did. I will not try that again, but I'm good right now. He's not just worthy to be praised. He expects praise. Christine, will you come? He expects praise. One story in Luke proves it. One story in Luke proves it. You remember the 10 lepers? 10 lepers. They cried out to Jesus to heal them. And he did. And they went to show themselves to the priest, but one came back with gratitude. And Jesus said, where are the other nine? Well, where are the other nine? This one man comes back, and Jesus said, and he's a foreigner. One came back. Jesus kept a record and said, where are the other nine? See, he's still waiting on his praise. That looks simple to me. That looks real simple to me. Is there something in your life God has done for you and you've snubbed it? I'm telling you, God keeps a record. He deserves his praise. Let me tell you what he's done for you today. He woke you up this morning. You're breathing his oxygen right now. He protected you to get here. And here you are with an incredible opportunity to thank him for everything he's done. All Jesus got was 10%. It's a whole other sermon. Past victories. David got the concept. Thinking on past victories reengages my mind. Then I see future victories. Amen. And the word says in the New Testament, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. One translation says, ask or imagine. And when you engage your mind in thinking about God, a thank will come out of you. A praise will come out of you. Worship will come out of you. And it's always a proper response to him. Will you just thank him across this room? Will you just think of something that your praise looks like, that if I were to come to you and say, what are you thanking him for? You could say, I'm thanking him for this. I'm thanking him for that. I'm thanking him that he delivered me. I'm thanking him that he got me out of something. I'm thanking him that he made a way for me. I'm thanking him that he provided for me. I'm thanking him because he deserves to be thanked. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be worshiped. Like David says, oh, come magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Will you stand this morning right now and let's exalt his name together? From your lips, praise him. Praise you, Lord. You are worthy.